us to the last item on the agenda, number 17, miscellaneous and meeting debrief.
That's a rule hearing, so can you see if anybody wants to...
There's no public. Yeah.
Thank you, Bill.
You can come up anytime. So item number 17 and the debrief, miscellaneous from the director, deputy director, commissioners. I'm going to just keep going down the line here.
No.
Okay.
Damn.
Well, we're ahead of time, right, Bobby?
Yes.
I just wanted to talk. There was quite a bit of public testimony earlier this morning on the Wolf and profanity pack issue in particular. And I'd always felt and feel it's not our job to interrupt that testimony. It's our job to listen to that testimony. But I do also feel that in my mind, if there's any misconceptions, I think it's important that you hear other sides of the story. And whether that's from a pro-wolf community or that's from a ranching community around wolves, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. In my everyday work, I get the privilege of working with a lot of ranchers, and it's my job is to help them start to do non-lethal practices to avoid problems with wolves. And it's a very interesting job. It's a very, you learn a lot. And I've had great opportunities to go to sessions, like in Montana. One of the people testifying mentioned that there was a Palm Miner Basin, and I've been there four times now, and as well as the Centennial Basin. I'm working with those people in Montana that are, you know, cutting edge with 15 years of experience on what really are the most, at least at this time, knowledgeable way to prevent problems with wolves and the most cutting-edge non-lethal tactics. And yet they still lose cattle. And yet wolves still have to die. And that's backed up by research. You know, we also can't cherry-pick research and say, well, one study, for instance, shows that by killing wolves you really don't gain social tolerance, you lose social tolerance. When there's also studies that show otherwise, when there's also studies that show, for instance, wolves occur on the landscape with livestock most of the time without problems. There's studies that came out of Montana from people on the ground. Elizabeth Bradley's study is a classic example of one where it's not just a research project, but it's field work going on and showing what occurs when they do or don't take out numbers, particularly low numbers, high numbers, or whole packs, to depredation occurrences after that. So there's a whole bevy of knowledge that I think has to be looked at. And so I would be suggesting at this point, we might be reaching a point in time where the grazing season's over, there's a little bit of relaxation, you know, oh, problems aren't going to occur as much, where we start to think about some science panels and some bringing together some of the people again. We did one about 3 years ago, I think, and WFW was heavily involved, and I know my organization was involved in getting some of those speakers here. It's time again. You know, we're now in a new phase. We're in a phase of trying to implement non-lethal as best we can and have to consider lethal at some point as well. I think the biggest misconception I'd like to correct in my own mind from what I heard this morning was that non-lethal can be a way to solve a problem. It's the best we can do. It can solve, you know, it can help a lot. But there's no silver bullet, so to speak. There's no, you know, just apply these three things and you will have no problems. Wolves are too smart for that. And I know this, I believe this, I've seen it, and I've seen it practiced. Whereas good of non-lethal has been applied, you still have problems. In the Tom Miner Basin, they're doing things now that we're just trying to bring out to some of the ranchers in this part of the world, and that's to help instill herding instincts back in cattle by stockmanship techniques. How you handle your cattle can get cattle to want to stay together more, whether you're in a corral or whether you're out in 40,000 acres of Forest Service allotment. So those are some things that need to be pursued, and we are pursuing them as an organization, and I think, you know, in our information education. So I just want to push for, you know, following science, not cherry-picking the science, all the science, and evaluating it in this world we're entering, to realize that if we feel there are misconceptions, to get out what we believe to be the truth as fast as possible so those don't become the truth. You know, whether it's a rancher saying those wolves were brought in here, you know, that just becomes truth if we don't counter it.
Yeah.
You know, or all non-lethal was not done. If people believe that enough, it becomes the truth, even if you know otherwise. So I just like to say that, and I do appreciate all the testimony that came this morning. You know, and I think it's important that we hear that, because there's more to come. And I think as people start to realize that this more to come means it's not just going to be out in Northeast Washington, it will be. Maybe not in the Walmart parking lot in Monroe, but it will become closer to home for a lot of people, I think, sooner than most expect. And again, some of the research is showing a lot more numbers of wolves crisscrossing our state than we even imagined. So just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Commissioner Keenan. Yep. Commissioner Thornburg.
Yeah, I'd just like to second your request for bringing maybe a science panel to us and into the decision making. I guess I heard the testimony a little bit differently. I heard that many of the testifiers were saying, are you really looking at all the science? And the conflict transformation process is, you know, some of the comments were, where are the scientists in that group? It's a little bit different process, and I think what I'm hearing you say, Jay, it is time to kind of open that back up again and take a look. I can't say I'm deep in wildlife literature, but I do read science fairly regularly, and there have been a lot of articles looking at just for all predators. More non-lethal techniques and comparing non-lethal to the effectiveness of lethal. And, I mean, there's a lot of work that's going on that probably we do need to hear about. So I would just second Jay's request.
How would you propose we take that next step of getting a panel?
Well, I think there would be several groups interested in helping to make that happen. You know, environmental groups, hopefully ranching groups. I mean, it.
Am I sensing a volunteer?
Let me think about that. I also don't feel that the Wolf Advisory Group is necessarily being given a fair shake in all of this. There are many solid, scientific-minded people on that commission, on that entity, and their job is to advise the department. And I think they are doing an outstanding job in my mind. But bringing them together might be a way to say, maybe funnel it back to them and say, you should be looking at a science panel, a Wolf Advisory Group, to help guide your next steps. Because I know they're going to be looking at reviewing and possibly revising the lethal take protocol. Okay, and it was said, I think, by several people in the audience, you know, that should be a science-based decision.
So I guess I don't want to leave here with this hanging. I'd like to see if, you know.
I would suggest that the department looks to their Wolf Advisory Group and suggests to them through either Francine or the members themselves that they consider convening a science panel with the help from other outside organizations as possible.
Specifically address the non-lethal protocol.
It could be decided by them. They've got pressing issues to consider this year. That would be one. The concept of, you know, this costs a lot of money to lethally take out wolves. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, and we're not there yet because we're still in recovery, but the concept of how are you going to do this when you have 67 packs or 78 packs? Well, you know, other states, whether people call that barbaric or not, have used the hunting population mm-hmm. to help reduce numbers.
And then it goes to the initiative sometime to overturn that.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are the things that they have to think about and are going to be on their plate. What can science be brought to bear on those decisions, whether they make them in January or they make them 2 years from now?
That's good. Yeah.
If I may, Jay, ask a little bit, dig into this. If I hear what you say, I think it's a great idea. Would we then send a message to the WAG and ask them to give us a report back on the strategy that they may want to follow along the scientific response line.
I guess I'd ask Jim to say how.
Yeah, I think maybe the most efficient way for to work on this would be for Joe and I to take this back and talk to staff. This may or may not be a role for the WAG, but certainly a science panel seems appropriate. A lot has gone on in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, we have two states now that have been hunting wolves for 5 or 6 years now, they're starting to assemble quite a bit of information. The population levels in Yellowstone of wolves are very interesting, as are the elk. There's getting to be quite a bit of new knowledge out there, so I think it would be a good time to bring that before the commission again and have a nice presentation. And
so this won't require a blue sheet. I think this is just a...
Yeah, no, I think that right. We're ready to do something like this.
I think that would be a value across the board. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the observation probably to cause some of the longer-term members to be quaking in their boots. But, eventually the things that are happening are going to lead to a need to update the plan, and that's our responsibility, I think. So sorry, folks, but it's coming.
and maybe this maybe the way to go would be to generate a white paper on certain specific issues that, yeah. that in, you know, instead of a full hearing or panel or something,
right.
We will investigate what we might do.
I think staff to come up with something
maybe
like that.
Maybe come back in December with some recommendations.
Right, perfect. And I think that, even to the public, that we're doing this shows good faith on our part. That's a nod? Yeah.
And I have spoken to ranchers and have interviews with them who have actually made changes and have been able to actually live with apex predators in their backyards.
Okay. Thank you.
Which has been very moving.
Thank you.
Conversations, but
thank you.
I think it needs to be brought back here, not to the WAG. The WAG needs to be a change.
Commissioner Holzmiller.
And as a rancher, we need to be pretty careful about painting with a broad brush here on this deal. Whether you believe in public grazing or not, that's another debate. But my cows are on private property 24/7, 365. I'm on ground that my family's owned for over 100 years. And whether you have to split the private public grazing off, but I mean, to me, we're starting to get into the point that if I start having wolves, I got to be held to this long. Where we're at now with preventative, I can live with on my own place. But I mean, pretty quick, you start getting this up too high, it's going to be no different than if your house is broke into, the cops come and say, well, you don't have a security system, you're SOL. And so we really need to watch this, because there's probably way more cattle grazed on private property than there are on public ground. So in the back of our minds, we need to keep this in mind, too.
Fair point. Okay, so I think we have a plan there.
Yeah, we'll bring something back in December.
Okay, good. Any other hearing? None. I bring to close the November 5th meeting of the Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting at 10:55 a.m.